Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Nodik from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Today we have a very special program for you because we will be hearing from a person whom you all know very well. I had the opportunity to ask a few questions to His Grace Bishop Anushavan, Vicar General of the Armenian Prelacy and the former pastor of St. Sarkis Church. And among other things, we spoke about his latest published book. Let's start our program with a prayer from the Prayers of the Armenian Church taken from the morning service. Glory to you, Lord our God, that you delighted your whole creation with the visible light of the day. And with the rational light of your commandments, you have enlightened all your faithful. Strengthen us, Lord, to keep your commandments on this day and every time. So with bright minds, we may do that which is pleasing to you, and we attain your eternal gifts along with all the saints, with the grace and the loving kindness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom is befitting glory, dominion, and honor, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. There's a lot happening in the world. Yesterday, Azerbaijan shut down a military Karabakh helicopter, and as a result, three crew members who were on board the helicopter, which was a training flight, were killed. We pray for the souls of our victims, and we also pray for their family members. This past Tuesday, November 11, 2014, the Synod of Armenian Bishops and Archbishops convened in Holy Echmiadzin under the leadership of His Holiness Karekin II and His Holiness Aram I. 58 bishops and archbishops are attending the Synod. I think this is a very constructive environment because for centuries, Armenian bishops and archbishops have never had the opportunity to be together. And now for the past 2 years, our church leaders are holding meetings together to discuss important issues that the Armenian church faces. The Armenian genocide also seems to be part of the agenda of the discussions that our church leaders are having. Aram Vehapar spoke about this as part of a press briefing. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Աշխարհին պիտի հիշեցնենք, որ դագավին իրավազարգված ժողովուրդ մգա, եւ այդ ժողովուրդը բահանչադեր այսօր, իր իրավունքները կբահանչի։ Մենք չենք կրնալ լրել, երբ արեմոդյան Հայաստանը, Գիլիգյան, մեր գալվածները, ազգավատկան, եկեղեցավատկան, դագավին կմնան փռնակալաբաց հոն։ Մենք որպես եկեղեցի եւ որպես ժողովուրդ չենք կրնար անդարբեր եւ լուր մնալ այս կացության դիմաց։ Այսօր մենք բահանչադեր ենք, երբ կսենք մենք պահանջադեր ենք եկեղեցի եւ ասք, մեկ ամփոփում, եկեղեցի ասք, հայրենիք, մեկ ամփոփում։
Last week I spoke about Badarak and the fact that when we attend Badarak, we become part of the Last Supper of Jesus and the salvation that he brought to the world. Therefore, you cannot really attend or be part of Badarak without participating in the breaking of the bread, that is, taking the Holy Communion. And I am very happy to say that this message resonated with a lot of our listeners, because a good number of our regular church attendees got up this past Sunday and took the Holy Communion. Let me just say how grateful I am that you are listening to the teachings of our church, which comes to you through the podcast. Let us continue talking about divine liturgy. As I mentioned last week, we are reading from the introduction to Badarak by Deacon Shant Kazanjian, the director of the religious education programs of the Armenian Prelacy. You can find the full text and the opening pages of the Divine Liturgy book on the pews of your church. Let's talk about the structure of Badarak. As indicated last week, the classical two-part structure of Badarak consists of the Divine Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Later, preparation service and the dismissal service were added. Preparation to Sur Badarak. This includes the preparation of the celebrant, the preparation of the congregation, and the elements. The celebrant prepares himself first by putting on his vestments, accompanied by special prayers in the vestry. After making the entrance into the chancel, he washes his hands as a symbolic act of purification and confesses his sins before God and the faithful, asking God for forgiveness. Then the celebrant and the altar servers go up to the altar chanting psalms. Behind the closed curtain, the celebrant prepares the bread and wine for communion, then follows the procession around the church, and the liturgy of the word begins. The liturgy of the word is the second part of Badarak, and it focuses on the word of God. Its goal is to teach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The main element here is the reading from the sacred scriptures. Usually, three readings are selected according to the lectionary of the Armenian Church, one from the prophets, one from the apostolic letters, and the final and climactic reading is always from one of the four gospels, and it's proclaimed in singing from the altar. So yes, we read the Bible in the Armenian Church. It is in this part of the service that you hear the Trisagion hymn, Sur Pasvats in Armenian, followed by readings from the Bible, and this part is concluded with the singing of the Nicene Creed. In the past, the sermon was usually given here, but now it comes right before the Lord's Prayer. Speaking about this part of Badarak, Gatorigos Hovan Otsnetsi says that the reading from the scriptures is like being nourished by the bread that comes down from heaven, identifying the bread from heaven with God's revelation and teaching comes from the Bible. In John's Gospel, Jesus is the bread that comes down from heaven, the embodiment of the revelation of God, the incarnate Word of God. Partaking from the table of the Word must precede partaking from the table of bread and wine. At the beginning of Badarak, the Gospel book is enthroned at the center of the altar. After the scriptural readings, the Gospel book is enthroned to the right side of the altar to make room for the chalice for the service of the bread and wine. The basic outline of the liturgy of the Eucharist is as follows. Are taken to the altar in a solemn procession. The celebrant offers a long prayer of blessing and thanksgiving known as the Eucharistic prayer. This prayer is attributed to Saint Athanasius of Alexandria. The Eucharistic prayer begins with the following blessing from the celebrant: the grace, the love, and the divine sanctifying power of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you. It ends with, and the mercy of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Most of this prayer is said silently by the celebrant, except for a few lines here and there, while the choir sings hymns. But not all is lost. The hymns pick up the essential elements of the Eucharistic prayer. Through this prayer, the church commemorates God's marvelous deeds from creation to consummation, and the heart of it is the sacrificial death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the celebrant begs God, the Father, to send His life-giving Spirit upon the gathered believers and upon the gifts of the Holy Table to make them truly the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, there follows a general intercession for the living and for the dead and for all things. Here we commemorate those saints who bore witness to the gospel and the Christian faith. In particular, we commemorate our holy fathers and chief pastors, including our first illuminators, the holy apostles Thaddeus and Bartholomew, Saint Gregory the Illuminator, Saint Sahak and Mesrop, Saint Gregory of Narek, Saint Nersus the Graceful. With the Lord's Prayer following the sermon, the final phase of the liturgical process begins, namely preparation for and invitation to communion. After communion, two thanksgiving hymns are sung. The Armenian Church have celebrated Badarak this way for centuries. One of the latest additions to Badarak was Dervogormia, which means Lord have mercy, authored by Catholicos Simeon Yerevansi in the 18th century. Dervogormia was not originally composed for liturgical use. However, because it was so well received by the faithful, it gradually became part of the church services and Badarak. The final part of Badarak is the dismissal service. After the two thanksgiving hymns, Sur Badarak comes to a close with the prayer, O Lord, you bless those who bless you, Vorochnes Zainosik, followed by the final gospel reading and dismissal blessings. Be blessed by the grace of the Holy Spirit, depart in peace, and may the Lord be with you all. Amen. I hope that covering the parts of Badarak will give you a better understanding of how it flows and help you to be part of the worship every Sunday. Today you will hear the interview that I had with His Grace Bishop Anushavan Panyalyan. Anushavan Sarpazan not only spoke about the book that he published recently, but he also spoke about his personal faith, the relationship that he has with the saints, and so many other personal aspects of his life were revealed during this interview. I really enjoyed interviewing him, and I hope you will enjoy listening to the interview. Today I have the honor to be with a person who has been influential in building the community of St. Sarkis Church the way it is. A person who has served the community as a pastor for over 15 years, and then after being elevated to the rank of bishop, he is serving the Armenian community in the capacity of vicar general. Today I am honored to have with us His Grace Bishop Anushavan Tanelian, the vicar general of the Armenian prelacy. Սրբազան հայր, ասված օգնական, and welcome to St. Sarkis Church.
Ասված բաբան եւ օգնեցեք եկայք.
Սրբազան, you recently published a modern Armenian translation of the prayers of Saint Ephrem the Syrian. Can you tell our listeners more about this project?
First, I would like to express dear Narek, my sincere appreciation for bringing the gospel of the living word of God, as well as of cultural and social life of St. Sarkis community in a most dynamic way by modern means. May the Almighty Lord shower upon you His wisdom to lead the flock entrusted to you for His glory.
Thank you.
And now let me answer your first question. St. Ephrem the Syrian is one of the 12 doctors of the Universal Church. He was born and raised in Nisipis and moved to Edessa, southwest of Armenia. He is named the whole Harp of the Holy Spirit because he had authored many spiritual works, including commentaries on the scriptures, treatises, and hymns. Most of his works have been translated into Armenian in the 5th century or during the following decades. Amazingly, some of his works have survived only in Armenian. I am glad that two publications of his most popular prayers took place recently. The first one, a translation from classical Armenian into English by an Armenologist, Dr. Edward Matthews, a classmate of mine at Columbia University, and the translation of the same prayers from classical into modern Armenian by myself. I'm glad to say that both publications were sponsored by St. Sarkis Church parishioners, Dr. Carlo and Ora Bayraktarian, and Mr. and Mrs. Carl and Alice Alajad.
That's a beautiful thing. Sir President Hayer, since these translations are the product of the Golden Age, how would you evaluate this glorious era in our history?
I'm glad you raised this question, because the 5th century Armenian cultural Golden Age is important not only for the Armenians, but also it's important for non-Armenian scholars. Following the translation of the Holy Bible in 405 and later in 427, many works were translated from Greek and Syrian church fathers, as well as philosophical works of Socrates, Aristotle, Zeno, Philo of Alexandria, and others. Some of these translations are unique because the originals are lost and are surviving only due to their translation into Armenian. That's why the Golden Age of the Armenian 5th century is a gold mine, not only for the Armenians, but to all scholars. In conclusion, I may say that the more we become aware of our heritage, the more we will have a deeper sense and positive pride of our Armenian Christian identity.
Absolutely. Sarpazan, when one takes a look at the books that you have published, it becomes very clear that you have always worked to make the writings, the prayers, and the wisdom of our church fathers relevant and accessible to the children of the Armenian church of today. Tell us about your fascination with our church fathers.
It seems that you are exploring my past, and I will try to be factual as much as possible. Since my early years at the theological seminary in Antelias and later during my priesthood, along with the scriptures, the lives and the works of our church fathers have been the source of my spiritual nourishment. To me, the church fathers are a strong link between the apostolic age and the generations to come. Their lives and works were infiltrated with the presence of our Heavenly Father, whose ultimate love was manifested on the cross, and who works through the Holy Spirit. Moreover, by reading their works, one may be perplexed where to draw the line of demarcation between their works and the scriptures, because literally they are embedded with endless biblical quotations. This is the motivating power of my labor to introduce our church fathers to our faithful. Actually, 40 years ago, when I started to publish the translations of our church fathers, after consulting with Archbishop Zareh Aznavourian, blessed be his memory, I baptized this new series, Our Father Speak. I firmly believed that they can be our best companion, counselor, and of course, through them, God speaks to us.
Sarpazan, you have been the pastor of a vibrant and growing church in the past, and today you serve the church in the capacity of vicar general. How do you manage your time to fulfill your responsibilities as a shepherd, and how do you find time to work on the academic works that you publish periodically?
Please don't exaggerate, because you are almost in the same shoes. Every person in his capacity is involved in different responsibilities and follows different norms to fulfill his or her duties. Speaking of myself, I have always admired and looked at the book of Genesis, where we learn that God has worked with love, has transcended all the impossibilities, has classified in order the things to do. Moreover, even though he rested on the seventh day, nevertheless, he continues to work, controlling all the challenges to fulfill his universal plan. Humbly, I have adopted a similar pattern by working with love and joy without yielding to challenges. I try to prioritize my works as much as possible. And last but not least, on a daily basis, I revise myself and my works in the light of upcoming promise of our Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal life. This is my recipe. If you like to buy it, it's free. Referring to my academic works, permit me if I made a confession and say that along with my administrative responsibilities, in order to keep the pace in academic life, I sin by stealing. Let me express myself clearly in order not to mislead the audience. The most private time I enjoy laboring my works usually is night time. So I steal from the rest time to work long hours. That's why, with great satisfaction, I join the congregation every Sunday in general confession.
May God grant you forgiveness for all of your sins, but I like the way that you describe it. You do your work with love and joy. It's an attitude that every Christian should have in their lives. Sir Pazanhair, who has been your inspiration? Who is your favorite saint and why?
It's very difficult to be selective in this case, since like a bee, I enjoy drawing my honeycomb from the flower of all the saints. Nevertheless, to highlight a few, I can say it without any doubt, Jesus Christ par excellence is the source of inspiration of all good things. Beside him, the Holy Virgin Mary and Saint Sarkis, the former being the mother as well as the proto-disciple of Christ. Through her Son and our Lord, she is the mother of all believers. She is a role model in submitting herself to him and by carrying her cross in following Christ. Saint Sarkis is the other role model because, as a successful military man, he didn't only deny worldly vanities, but as a father achieved a higher score in his faith by encouraging first his only son, Mardios, not to deny his Christian faith, and this was martyred. Later, Saint Sarkis was himself martyred. Even though the Old Testament scene of Abraham's readiness to sacrifice his son Isaac is the prototype of God's sacrificial love, nevertheless, I believe that Saint Sarkis' love presents a glimpse of that heavenly love.
What can you tell us of your personal experience of these saints?
Well, today you are leading me to confess more and more from my personal life.
I hope you don't mind.
Sure, as long as it's for good purpose, I'll do my best. On a very personal note, which is related to Saint Sarkis' church also, Saint Mary and Saint Sarkis are unique to me. Because back in 1985, October 26, I was invited from Philadelphia, where I was serving as preacher, in order to participate in the groundbreaking ceremony of Saint Sarkis' church in Douglaston. On our way to the church ground, unfortunately, due to a car accident, I was carried to a nearby hospital and for 3 hours was unconscious with a concussion. When I opened my eyes and regained my consciousness, I realized that unceasingly I was repeating the following. Holy Virgin Mary, pray for me. Saint Sarkis, pray for me. Mom, pray for me. To this day, my survival is a mystery. Nevertheless, I personally discovered the truth that there is an invisible bond between us, earthlings, and celestials. And that prayer is the strongest means of communication between these two. Moreover, I understood the depth of Saint Nessus Nurali's prayer when he says, we must always pray to God in spirit and mind. In other words, I came to understand that when we pray constantly, it becomes the authentic song and murmur of our souls, even when we are unaware of it.
Sir Pazanhair, thank you for sharing this very intimate story about your relationship with the saints. Can you tell us what is the next project that you are working on?
You know, Derek, usually I don't like to speak on my works before accomplishing them. Because sometimes, as Baruch Sevak Darmian poet says, I promise not to promise in vain. But I will try to say a few words, hoping that soon, with God's help, I will achieve one of the most monumental of Armenian spirituality works in our literature. My next project is to print the manuscript of a commentary on Psalms authored by 12th century Archbishop Nerses Lampronazi. Hopefully, by the end of next year, as I said, I will complete the critical text of this work. The original text, unfortunately, is lost. And we know that during copying any text, human errata is quite understandable. By saying critical text, I mean that the work should be based on the comparison of at least 3 or 4 texts to be a reliable effort. I have already compared 3 manuscripts and currently am working on the 4th. It's a monumental and gigantic volume composed of over 1,500 pages. It is indeed a gold mine of Armenian spirituality, theology, and poetry.
I hope that, Sir Pazanhayar, you will have the time and the energy to continue the monumental project that you have started. And I hope that through the commentary of Archbishop Nerses Lampronatsi, our church fathers will introduce us the Book of Psalms, which is a book from the Bible and something that we read in our church, and every Christian is encouraged to read and familiarize themselves with the Book of Psalms. We wish you all the best in your work serving the Armenian prelacy, but also the Armenian church in general, because the work that you're doing will serve not only our generations, but all the generations to come who are interested in learning about the Armenian church. Sir Pazanhayar, I thank you very much for stopping by today to do this interview. But before I let you go, could you offer our listeners your fatherly blessings?
With great pleasure, I would like to do so by reciting the 15th stanza of St. Nerses Gracious In Faith I Confess prayer. Christ, guardian of all creatures, let your right hand be a shadow over us, day and night, tarrying at home and traveling, sleeping and rising, that we may never fail. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, great sinner that I am. Amen.
Amen. Next, I'm going to do something which I usually don't do in my podcast. I will be reading to you a letter which I received from a person whom I really admire. The author of this letter is a person who takes care of all the PR of the Armenian prelacy. This person is super busy. However, she was able to find the time to send me a note and a generous donation to St. Sarkis Church. The letter goes like this. Dear Derhair, human nature is quick to criticize and slow to praise. All too often, we are very vocal, but hesitate to express our feelings in a lasting and tangible way. Being human, I also often fall into this behavior. It is with these thoughts in mind that I write this letter to tell you how much I am enjoying your weekly podcasts. I can only imagine the time it takes out of your already busy schedule, but please know that there are many people out there beyond your own parish who are listening, learning, and enjoying. I commend you for your dedication and imagination in serving your flock with many bold initiatives, the podcast being the most recent example. I also praise your board of trustees and your parishioners for the support they have given you. A small token of appreciation is enclosed along with an abundance of good wishes and love. Peace and joy to all. Iris Papazian. Iris, thank you very much for your letter. Let's meditate on the Word of God, something that we do here every week on the podcast. Today's Gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 19, verses 27 through 29. Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or children, or fields, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." The word of the Lord. Jesus promises the kingdom to whoever follows him. Peter, on behalf of the disciples, emphasizes that they have forsaken all to follow Jesus, and Jesus does not dispute their claim. Nevertheless, for the apostles and all followers of Christ, once we have committed our lives to him, we must watch and pray to be ready for still other tests. In the verses preceding our reading today, we encountered the rich young man who, faced with loss of possessions, walked away. Similarly, faced with possible death, Jesus' disciples would later abandon him and flee. A true disciple must be prepared to abandon not only possessions, but everything for Christ's name. Christ and our relationship with God must come first, especially for these 12 who left their livelihoods to follow Jesus' call. Jesus promises that they will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, that Jesus would reward his loyal followers. Christ here gives his word that he will save his followers and he will abundantly reward them. But the bottom line is this: no pain, no gain, no cross, no glory. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, as we walk on the path of faith, let us ask God for strength so that we may be able to walk with him and be worthy of his heavenly gifts. Saint Sanushavan Sarpazanov spoke about the Holy Virgin Mary in his interview. Today I would like to play a hymn dedicated to the Holy Virgin named Hangi Tsari Namanes. This is a hymn that you will hear in the Armenian church quite often. This version is performed by Garine Abedisyan. I hope you will enjoy listening to the hymn. I will be back next week with another episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that you will have the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts and also in your families.